left on the pulpit or back in the chair. And almost every time, there are bulletins left on the chair that catch my eye. And so I think I'm doing a straightening up kind of job, pick up the bulletin, and find myself blessed. There are notes and drawings, sometimes a grocery list, so if you've ever left that, that might be yours, to-dos, but also sometimes quotes from what's been up on the PowerPoint or just little squiggles that have been drawn along the way. Sometimes it's additions to the prayer list that I see, things that have been shared in the gathered prayer time. I think the doodler, the note taker, knows something that's vital to our faith. We can pray in so many different ways, even the taking notes on the bulletin kind of way. We can pray in words, and we can pray in actions. This Lent, we've been invited to pray like Jesus, going through the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus was teaching how to pray. Sometimes, in direct response to the question, "Teach us how to pray," the place we get the Lord's Prayer from, and sometimes teaching by example. The disciples have just kind of caught along the way how Jesus prays. Last week, I invited you to pick up a slip of paper with a scripture on it, and throughout the week, use that to guide your prayers. I've heard from some folks who have been blessed by that experience. God led them to a scripture they were looking for, something that gave them insight in their lives. I've heard from other people that said, "I have no idea why I picked this one up. I've got to keep praying on that." If you did not get a chance or would like to do that this week, we left out some scriptures over here that you could pick up and take with you this week. Today we turn to another way of praying, praying in color. But before I get to the how, I want to answer the why. Let me see if any of these questions fit you. Do you ever make a list of people to pray for and then wonder what to say in praying for them? Do you ever find it hard to keep focused while you're praying? You kind of get to "Dear God," and then you're on to the next thing. Do you find that your prayers are a bit more like a wish list than a relationship? Do you find yourself praying the prayers you've been taught, but then having trouble offering your own voice to those prayers as well? Do you find yourself doodling around the edge of a bulletin or in a meeting at work or while the teacher is teaching and you're supposed to be taking notes at school? If you find yourself kind of nodding along, this might be a method for you. For the rest of us, will benefit as well. The author of this concept is Sybil Macbeth, who's not an artist by background. She's actually a math teacher, a middle school math teacher, who found herself not being able to carry through her commitment when others ask her to pray. She wanted to figure out how she could take seriously that commitment to prayer. She knew that it wasn't just about sitting still and trying to remember everything. There was more to the prayer. So she leaned into her gifts and found herself doodling these prayer requests. All you really need for that is color and paper, and quite frankly, the color is negotiable. when we're praying, it's often our minds that need to be stilled, even more than our hands or our feet. When we give our minds something to do, our focus changes. It's the same concept that our prayer beads class had as they were teaching in that way, something to do with our hands so that our minds could focus. Macbeth shares that after praying for each of the people, she could recall them by color. So she found herself, as she was teaching, remembering to pray for the blue heart and what that meant, to pray for the purple squiggle and what that meant to her. This visual aspect of prayer popped in her head throughout the day and called her to remember those who had asked her to be in prayer. You see, she's taking seriously that when someone says, "Pray for me," they're not just saying, "Let's go have coffee and I'll complain about how it's going." They really want you to pray for what is going on in their lives. They're inviting you to bring them before God, trusting you in some small way. Macbeth also uses this concept when she had concerns this fall about our nation. As we were preparing for election, she developed a map of the country and prayed her way through the news. Our service around the election time used that as well. The cover of our bulletin this morning is also one of her doodles. It's the names of Jesus. Notice he's there in the center, and all around on the front of your bulletin are various names for Christ. Consider yourself taking it home and using it to pray this week. As you're looking for words of praise and adoration, let this be a springboard. Maybe you even want to add your own doodles around it. I also want to invite you to find in your bulletin an insert that is there. It has approximately 40 boxes, give or take a few, and that's intentional. What I'm asking you to do is today to start with just one. One thing you want to be in prayer for, and write that in one of the boxes. Tomorrow, pull the paper back out and write one in a second box, whichever one you prefer, and pray for the first thing and the second thing. Maybe you want to add color and maybe you think that's a little bit silly. That's okay too. But through this time, through Easter, one way that you can focus on praying like Jesus. Just a little bit different is the sheet I gave the children, inviting them to pray. This is what theirs looked like. I want to tell you that praying in color has helped me, especially as I've prayed with Scripture. The very first time I heard of this practice, I was at a continuing education event on a cruise ship of all places, where the speaker introduced this concept, asking us to draw what we heard in Scripture and letting God work through that to give us new insight into God's Word. I think the concept is comfortable for verses we really like. And I think it allows us new possibilities for Scripture that challenges us and that we're not exactly sure what God's trying to say. The cursing of the fig tree is one of those. On its face, the parable that Vernon read for us is a little odd. And Jesus almost seems unreasonable, cursing a fig tree. Scholars would point us to a few details that would give us some context for those verses. The first of which is the tree was not bearing fruit because it was not in season. Often fig trees will take more than one season to be ready to bear fruit. We don't know the age of this fig tree, but can imagine that perhaps this was the situation. In the larger discourse, Jesus also suggests that there are times in which we must be pruned for growth. Times in which any gardener knows you must cut back in order to see more growth. Could Jesus be using the fig tree to illustrate that reality? On the strength of our message today, I also want to point you to the last verse in that passage. If you believe, everything you will receive in prayer. This is not meant that God is a dispenser, like for candy, anything that we wish, but rather to say, where are you seeking God's understanding and blessing in the midst of puzzlement and in the midst of confusion? Where does this passage about the fig tree stump you a little bit? Make you wonder about who God is? And where are you praying that God gives you insight into God's character? The passage from Romans uses a similar method, but without the puzzlement per se. We're invited to pray for one voice and one mind in Christ. We're invited to know and pray for unity, not uniformity, but unity, that each of us would know Jesus, not that each of us would attend the same church, that each of us would have a relationship with Christ, not that each of us would have the same walk with him. Not even that we'd pray the same prayer. God's creation was intentionally made of diversity. Accepting and loving one another is a byproduct of that kind of prayer. We come to be fond of those we pray for. This, I think, is why Jesus challenges us to pray for our enemies. How often it is that as we pray for someone, we find ourselves drawn closer to them. Imagine one day if our enemies are no longer our enemies. With so many possibilities to pray in color, to use the sheet in your bulletin, I want to add just one more. Consider this question as you use it. Where is a place that you wish you knew that God was? Now, hear me to say, God is always present, always near, and always knowable. And yet, we do not always see God in the midst of our own challenges and in the midst of our own trials. Let me share. For me, in this week, where I have walked with 5 different family groups regarding 6 different deaths in the course of 48 hours. Hear that? Many related to issues of addiction and mental health, lack of access to health care, and poverty in all of its ways. I found my prayers to be that those who are in the midst of addiction and loss of mental health diagnoses would know and feel God's presence. Not because I don't think that God is already there, but because I want them to know God's presence as well. I want them to hear what God's up to next and how God can redeem that brokenness and make it beautiful. When you and I think of things as black and white, it's basic and it's explainable. It's adequate and we get by. Praying in color is about offering ourselves fully to God, developing a prayer voice and listening to where God is calling us. My prayer this Lent is with all of these methods, you'll find your prayer voice. You'll find ways that you can speak to God most fully and listen to where God is calling you. So may you pray in color, be it red or blue, yellow or chartreuse, seeking God's call and God's presence above all else. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.